You know, there were two friends. One was an alpiner, you know, alpine, mountaineer. And another person was like myself, remained on the plains. Yeah. Not your spiritual plains, but the ordinary meadows, you may call them. Yeah. So both became friends. And as they came closer and closer, they tried to find out the charm of their hobbies and all that. So the mountaineer would tell him all the charm of the mountains. And the one who lived in the plains, well, he didn't have anything to say except about the meadows or the gardens or whatever he saw. So eventually this plainsman was charmed by the mountaineer. So he says, will you teach me to climb the mountain? So he says, yeah, but you'll have to take it very easy. Go step by step and slowly and all that. It takes long time. Now it's not the age to learn, but still you can have the pleasure. I'll take you to some heights. See, eventually it so happened that he takes him now and then they come and he likes it and all that. Once it so happened that he got himself bold enough to go without his friend. You know. And he climbs to a precarious height he goes, and there all of a sudden his foothold slips. And he has a fall, right from, say, about 20,000 feet, he falls down. And halfway, he catches hold of the clump of a tree that comes across, you see, in his fall. And he hangs from there. And he doesn't know, he's frightened, you know. He never had such an experience before. So he looks down and starts crying out loudly. He says, help, help! And he continues to call out, but there's no sign of anybody there to help him. No voice comes or anything, sir. He says, maybe that I've come climbed up so high, somebody must be up there. So he looks up and starts shouting, says, is there anybody there? Help me! So he says, yes, I am there. So he says, who are you? He says, I am God. He says, help me, help me. So he says, will you do anything that I tell you to do? He says, sure. Do exactly as I direct you? He says, sure. So then God says, let go. So then the man says, is there anybody else up there? That is obedience. That is obedience, you see, which is not wanted. As for surrender, yeah, obedience, Baba wants us to obey him implicitly. And there are many fine stories about obedience. So what had happened was, obedience story I'll tell you in that time. We'll touch some points. First of all, surrender, Baba says, if you wish to surrender, you have not to wait to ask for acceptance of surrender. A man who wishes to surrender and asks for my consent to surrender can never surrender. Because inherent in surrenderance is the very acceptance. If you wait for me to tell you to surrender to me, and then you surrender, it's no surrender. A man who has the inclination to surrender, surrenders. You follow? There's no question of, will you please accept my surrender if I surrender? How is it possible? Then there is no surrender at all. So that's what he said, some one thing on that. All right, with that, about obedience, I'll give you another story to what extent Baba wants us to go in with our commitment to obey him. The only gift that we can give him is our obedience. God gives us the gift, and that gift is of love for him. It's his gift. Only then we can love him. Yeah. And our gift to God is our obedience to him. Man's gift. So, one case that Baba would always give us, cite to us, and to what extent one should be obedient to the Master. And that was of Kalyan. I don't know whether you have heard the name of Kabir. Heard the name of Kabir? Have you heard the name? Kabir was a perfect master of the time, you see. Some, how many centuries ago? 500 years or
500
years ago. He was in Banaras, you know. Banaras, you call the holy city of India.
Uh-huh.
Nearby there, you see. So,
Pardon?
He was a poet too.
Yeah, he was Kabir was a poet. Yeah, poet in the sense, well, I don't know what you call it. He was a weaver by vocation. He was a weaver. But whatever he said, he would say it in form of couplets, whenever he'd say it. And those who know you, who are poets, they can, most probably. Of course, they are the poets who can say things through couplets. We are not concerned with that, but the beautiful couplets are there. Hundreds of them. But we are not concerned with his poetic trait, but we are concerned with his mastery now. So he was a weaver, and people would, he would continue to weave in his room and be there and all that. You know how weaving is done? Not, have you seen weavers with their treadles and all that?
Yeah,
put treadles, yeah. So he would do that, khatak, 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 khatak would be there, the pit would be there in his room, the sitting room and the meeting room and everything would be just there, or the weaving room is there. And naturally the people would come, they came to know of him. So they would come and sit there, and while he is weaving, he would recite, as you say, his poetic nature would just blossom forth, you see, and he would speak out in verses. And people were delighted to hear, and still at this, after so many centuries that have passed by, we still delight in his words. Really, there's no comparison, I should say, in that particular language, Hindi language. So what happened is that there are many people who are there and all, and some of them are his followers, naturally, are his close ones. Amongst the close ones that are there, there comes one day a youngster by name Kalyan. And he wants to live with Kabir and dedicate his life at his feet. So he is there, and so Kabir readily accepts him. So he continues to be there as one of the close ones, obeying, serving, loving the master. These are the conditions. When you are accepted as one of the family, then what you have to do is, first thing is to obey, to serve. And without love, both these things are not possible, to obey and serve. Now, without love it's not possible means affection must be there, because love can be had only through the gift. Without that you can't love. So that affinity should be there first, that commitment, that something which makes you commit to obey. Just as when people ask me, well, you were in the world, isn't it? So how is it that you are here now? Well, we say about our freedom, I forgot now. What do we say? Well, what I used to say about?
Freedom is
beginning. I used to say that, well, we exercised our freedom in order to become slaves. We had our freedom in the world, but we have exercised our freedom in order to become slaves. So that's what I even forgot that, you see, my own.
You are free to be a slave to your own nature or a slave to God.
Yeah. So I have become free to, I have exercised my freedom to become his slave. So that's how it is. So now, these people were there. So every now and then, Kalyan was the favorite because he was young, and he was the favorite of Kabir. And he would, being young, he would immediately run and rush here, there, and all, be of help to all as well as to the master. So they all loved him. But then this love was, well, in the beginning, in the first stages. But then what happened, the other older members felt that they have been with Kabir for so long, for so many decades, and this newcomer that has come just for 2-3 years now, and Kabir is showering all his love on him. So what has happened to us? What happened to our decades?
Yeah.
It's all waste. So there was a little jealousy that cropped up. And it does crop up every now and then. So it's nothing new. So it is like that. So then, one day, and Kabir being the perfect master, he at once knows all what's going on or transpiring in the minds of these people. So he would every now and then harp upon the subject of obedience, how you should obey and what you should do and all that. He would tell them. And they would listen and they would all go away, the crowd would go away, the intimate ones also would listen and they would feel happy and comforted and all that. And each one felt that, well, he is doing his best in obeying. One day it so happened, the story tells us, that is bright sunlight day, you see, bright day, and say about 2 o'clock in the noontime, Kabir is weaving and the crowd is there and all that, and he's weaving and there are some shuttles are missing here, there and so forth. So all of a sudden he cries out to Kalyan. He says, "Kalyan, are you blind? Don't you realize that it's so difficult for me to see now, it's so dark? I can't even put the shuttles properly. Can't you get me a lantern here?" So he says, "Yes, master." And he gets up. And it's bright sunlight. So all of a sudden, for him, the whole world has turned into darkness because of complete obedience. Because it's dark. My master says it's dark. And he doesn't,
fake.
He's not pretending.
Yeah, he's not pretending that it's darkness or anything sort. But he absolutely, it is dark to him. The whole room is so dark that he tries to probe his way and he kicks somebody and he says, "I'm so sorry," and all that. He goes and jumps and gets a lantern, lights a lantern, and puts it and says, "I'm so sorry, I forgot about it." And Kabir then says to others that obedience should be to that degree where when I say that it is darkness, you have not just to nod your head and accept that it is darkness, but you should experience the darkness. You follow? That is the height of obedience, which is not possible for any of us, for me or for you all, Baba says. Because this obedience can only be on the planes when you are on some plane and serving your master. It can happen that way. But this obedience, it's not possible. It's a rare type of obedience. But there is such a thing like this obedience, which is the highest type of obedience. But if you begin with the lowest type of obedience, there's the obedience of the servant, you are paid servant, and you obey your master because you are paid for it. There is the obedience, patriotic obedience as Baba calls it, of the patriots, you see, the soldiers who fight the battle, you see. They are there, the militants, they obey the commands of the generals and all that. They do their duty, servants do their duty. You all also do the duty because you all are my slaves. You have exercised your freedom, you say, so, well, to become my slave, then I obey my command. Whatever command I give you, you carry it out without question of why and what and wherefore. So that's the thing. And gradually, that from the lowest type of obedience, it reaches to the highest. Luckily, we missed. We finished the story before.
Before the preliminary bell, at least.
Yeah.
That's not all there is to it, Roger.
Then you see, Baba always used to tell us about obedience, how very difficult it is to obey, and it is a fact. It is a fact. Nobody in Baba's world can claim that
obedience.
They could obey. Unless and until he makes it possible for us.
Without.
It will be too presumptuous for anyone to say that I can obey.
What did he say about the cobras?
Yeah. That's
snakes?
A different thing. Yeah, yeah. All these different things. But what I'm saying in generalizing the whole thing, it is our gift, our offering to the Master, beloved one, but it's not possible. Only when he accepts it, then he makes it possible for us to obey.
If he awakens love in our hearts, then obedience, since we don't have a master giving us verbal orders, must be, am I right to say, understood as surrenderance to that spirit of love and action according to our understanding.
But he has already given us standing orders. First order is to love me. So you begin with that. Second order is no indulgence in sex. Unless you are a married person, unless you have a partner for lifetime. No indulgence with drugs, no addictions, unless and until the doctor prescribes you for treating you. All these are the things. Yeah.
But the walking around in the world sense,
yeah.
Those things we can read and certainly deal with. But the walking around in the world sense, just going through life and dealing with others, there's no prescription for all the complicated situations that you come into. So, am I right to say that obedience then is just obedience to the spirit of love?
Yes, that's good. If you do that, automatically you will begin to obey him in every little thing. It will come. There won't be a period after that if you continue with that. It's like doing this means obeying here, this way, the spirit of love and all that. No, there is no period there. Then that will lead you to other further obediences. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah.
I find that my mind plays tricks with me, disobedience. I read something the Bible says, and because I don't really want to say it like that,
you rationalize.
Yeah. Well, what is really meant?
Yeah.
So if I change it to something, I feel more able to obey. And sort of at the same time, realize I'm only trying to fool myself.
Yeah, you realize. Awareness is also a great blessing from him. You become aware that you are trying to fool yourself like that. That is awareness. That's his great blessing also. That's a great step forward, Baba says, when you become aware. But then, even he doesn't want you to stop analyzing these things. He wants you to go ahead, try to analyze it, break it into pieces and try to see, do whatever you want, do whatever your conscience tells you to do. Eventually you come back to the very letter of the word. It is like that. Yeah, many have said this in the beginning about so many things come across in his discourses and all that, and they analyze it and break it, and there are excuses and there are little things, you see, they want to get over these things and they want to do the way they want it, and they do it, and eventually after years they come back to the very spirit of what was said in the letter and the word. Oh yes, hope for us all. Hope for us all. Because it is he alone who is there. We are not. It's his game that he's playing himself. If we were to understand that and remain constantly aware of it, everything would be smooth sailing. But it is not so. Eh, Georgie?
Hmm.
Not so.
Harish? Also, one thing I remember Mani saying about obedience, and that is, you know, people try to do what would please Baba. And it's hard many times to determine what would please him, what would please him, or what you could do that would be obeying him. But as I heard Mani say this time, she said that if you reflect for a moment what would displease Baba anytime you're trying to do something, you can tell, always the one that will displease him. And if you avoid doing that, then you're obeying Baba.
That's
and then you're pleasing him.
Yeah. You heard that?
If it's you just stop for a minute and think, which is the right one? Which
that's
one
so pleases? Simple that it just would never occur.
We will. We know at once what would displease him, eh? Rather than please him.
Please him, yeah. Yes, the other way around.